Billy's track here, Running Scared, which is a fantastic track. He's involved with the UK Collective, and they've got released a song called Daylight Robbery, which we're going to be talking about. So good morning to you, Billy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I was just singing along to the Buzzcocks just before I came on, so that was nice.
Yeah, hopefully they made some royalties out of that. I would think they would have done.
Yeah, they probably did. We don't, but that's another matter. We can come to that.
Yeah, we'll come to that. So before we talk about the UK Collective and the track Daylight Robbery, tell us about your music career.
Oh, my music career. It goes back to the 80s, which is weird because I'm only 27, but that's another matter. And I was in a band called Friends of Gavin, and we toured with the likes of REM and Boomtown Rat and The Alarm and The Damned and a host of other people as well as headlining in our own right across the country, and played in Holland and France. And then I got married and packed it all in.
Mm. Yeah.
And that lasted all of about 2 years, so that was not worthwhile. And then in the early 90s, I was asked to play harmonica on a track, and I ended up co-writing it, and that became a big European dance club hit all over the place, and it got played on Radio 1, and then I packed music in again, and then about 10 years ago, started again.
Mm.
That's gone reasonably well, but obviously there are issues which we'll come to shortly.
Yeah.
In terms of being paid for what we do. And then the UK Collective, that came along from another station, which I shan't mention its name, where all four of us had got to number one in their top 30 charts. I think I tipped the Foo Fighters to number one, so I was rather delighted with that. And we got together and we thought, you know, we're all in this sort of the same boat. Why don't we help each other get airplay and contacts and that sort of stuff? And you know, maybe we can play on each other's records, etc. That's Phil Hendricks, who is with the Stiffs, and also Les McCown, sadly, who died recently, bassist of Rollers. Phil Hendricks from, David Filk from the Automatics, and Neil Frost.
Mm.
And they're all, you know, they're all brilliant songwriters and musicians. And we got together and we've just become really, really close friends very quickly in the last sort of 5-6 months. We talk on WhatsApp every day. We talk on the phone a few times a week. We have a video chat every week, which we're doing a vlog, which is coming out soon as well.
Mm.
And we decided that, you know, this is ridiculous. So I didn't put my album on Spotify, but the others have, and they've all moaned about how they get no royalties from it, basically. And
If people don't know about Spotify, explain to people out there, because loads of people got Spotify, obviously, and they use it. Tell them why it's not good for an independent artist, because you can say you've got, you know, 20,000 streams, but what does it actually mean?
Well, I'll give you a good example. Come Alive has had 500,000 streams on all platforms. You know, that includes Amazon, Apple, all those things, because they all now do streaming. They're all trying to get a cut of Spotify streaming act. And we get paid, you know, 0.0006p per stream, which is, you know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
No other industry in the world would work like that. You know, and dare I say the analogy of the plumber, which the boys are sick of.
Yeah.
But it could be, you could put it to any industry. If, you know, if your plumber came around and said, look, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to pay you for fixing whatever you're fixing, but every time I turn the tap on or run the bath or flush the toilet, I'll give you 0.0006p and he'll tell you to get lost.
Yeah.
And the same with electrician, same with the car salesman, same with the lawyer, you take a loaf of bread from the supermarket and every time you butter it, you'll give them 0.0006p and they'll tell you to get lost. So why should musicians do it? You know, if the actors did it in films, if they said to them, look, we're not going to pay you anymore, but every time the film is streamed, we'll give you 0.0006p, they'll say, no, thank you, I won't bother doing it. You know, what am I going to spend 2 months on set for to do a film if that's all I'm going to get?
Yeah.
You know, we put in a lot of time, a lot of money to record our music. You know, we bought equipment, we pay for studios and that sort of stuff, and we put our heart and soul into writing music, but we don't get, you know, a fair whack of the money that comes in. And Daniel Ek himself is a billionaire,
yeah.
But we ain't getting the money.
How does it work with people like Ed Sheeran? How do they make the money? Is it different because it's a record company involved, or
the big record companies seem to control what goes on in all the streaming platforms, not just Spotify, but now Amazon and all the others. So they get a fair share of the whack. Although there are people like Taylor Swift who have pulled their music off streaming.
Yeah.
You know, I was very lucky from having a number one recently, to sell, you know, quite a few CDs and T-shirts from it, which, you know, hasn't made me a fortune, but it's made me far more than a million streams would have made. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's quite sad. You know, 20 CDs and 17 T-shirts earned me, you know, twice the money that a million streams would have got me. So that's just ludicrous.
And that's why we love playing new music here on Phoenix. And I always encourage people to go and check out the links for the artist to maybe spend 99 pence, because it makes a huge difference, or like their page, because it does, it makes a huge difference to them being able to create more music, because it is expensive. Not everybody, not every musician is good at recording actually at home. They just might have a creative brain where they can write songs, but they can't do anything else, or they can't put a whole band together, again, which is things you have to pay for. And then you've got all the promotion of having your pictures done, if you want to get a video done because people want to see you live. It all adds up.
Yeah, of course it does. And you know, there's a lot of work and effort goes into it as well. You know, even playing live, you've still got to rehearse, you know, for weeks on end, get to the venue. You know, if you're lucky, you get paid when you play, which is also rare. You know, it's just a tough thing. Yes, of course, we love what we do. We wouldn't do it if we didn't love it. But why shouldn't we earn a living out of it? We're not asking for millions. We just want to earn a decent living out of it. That's all we're asking for.
Yep. And also, I've spoken to people as well, Billy, about ageism in music, which is, and that goes across, I won't say the stations, but on some of the introducing things, you'd have no chance. You're over the age of 30, not interested. No matter how good your music is, it shouldn't work that way.
Well, the BBC. Well, I'm actually going to happily mention the BBC, which is, you know, a public company in terms of, you know, we all pay for it, and for us to get on the likes of the BBC is nigh on impossible. It's a closed shop, and that's just ridiculous. Mm. Whereas, you know, at the moment we're all getting played on FM stations like yours all over the country, on stations like Radio Caroline, stations in Germany and France and Canada. But we cannot get a look in on the BBC, and that's just ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, and
no matter how we try.
Yeah, and as I said, the music, the amount of music that I get sent in that is absolutely fantastic. We're talking about, you know, fantastic musicianship, and they can't get played on the major stations. It's awful. It's because if you tune in other places, it's the same artist over and over and over again.
Here's a song we're going to play now, which sounds just like the song we played an hour ago, and like the song we played 2 hours ago and 3 hours ago. Yeah, it's the same playlist over and over and over.
Yeah,
the stations like yours and all the local FM stations up and down the country, and Radio Caroline and United DJs and various other stations. You know, the DJs play what they want. You know, it's the old Radio Luxembourg idea of, we're not going to be told what to play. We're going to play what we want to play. And that, to me, is fantastic. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
I think the whole streaming method is wrong. To me, they should do one of two things. Either sample the song so you have a minute of the song, so you can stream it happily for a minute of the song, and that's enough to, you know, to hear a verse and a chorus to see if you like it.
Yeah.
Or they say, if you want to stream the song, you pay 5p, or if you want to download it, it will cost you 99p. As simple as that.
Yes.
And to me, that would be very fair. I'd have no problems with a million streams at 5p each. At least I could earn, you know, something like 50 grand out of it. Obviously, I'd prefer to sell them all and earn a million, but, you know, I don't want to be greedy. I just want to make a decent living out of it, that's all.
Well, hopefully something will change. The song Daylight Robbery is out now, and it's the UK Collective. So can you give us some of the lyrics from the track? We're going to play it in a second anyway, but you can stand out lyrics from the track?
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to think of them now, but what springs to mind is Neil's backing vocal, particularly on one of the choruses, is back then when rock made money, and we're just using rock as a generic term for all music. Not, you know, obviously there's lots of different genres, but, you know, back in the day, in the 70s, 80s, 90s even, you know, musicians were making money out of it. You know, Oasis wouldn't be who they are if they ended up with streaming. You know, they'd have no money, and they probably would have packed it in. Well, I still buy CDs because I like to own my music. I like to read, you know, who did what. Like the old, you know, vinyl albums where you pulled out sleeves and there was all this information you could read, and it was part of the whole story. Mm. Nowadays, sadly, you know, I've got my kids, and I should say hello to Honey, my daughter, who is tuned in.
What a great name!
Honey Bee is her name.
Oh wow, that's a fab name.
And you know, they just don't listen to radio, sadly. And I keep saying to them, "You're mad. You know, you listen to radio, you'll hear songs that you've never heard before.
Yeah.
They just go to Spotify and go on someone's playlist.
Yeah.
And I just said, you're missing out. You know, radio, I adore radio, and I listen to radio all day long, and pretty much most evenings as well. And I hear, you know, fantastic stuff from whether it's on your show or somebody else's show at a different time. You think, oh, you know, that's really good. And then you go and check them out. And if you like it, I will go and buy the CD. That's what I'll do. I'll actually contact the artist and say, where can I buy your CD? I don't like downloads, and I will not do streaming at all.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I don't want to be played. I don't want a million streams on Spotify, because people who generally stream don't buy music.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying Spotify or Amazon or iTunes or whoever, you know, $20 a month or 20 quid a month to play as many, you know, pretty much as many songs as they want for nothing. And to me, that, and as I said, you know, I like to own my music. I don't want my music stored on a phone or on my computer. I want to, you know, if I'm in the car, I want to chuck in a CD, or tune into an FM station, and that's what I do. You know, maybe I'm a bit old school, but I think streaming, sadly, is here to stay. It's not how I want to do it, but I think the whole method of payment is wrong, and they need to change it.